So, I don't know. I think we've talked about this before. Facebook, it's all about showing me, like, the runs and stuff, right? And you get the ads for, like, the gear or the races or, like, whatever.
All the things.
And so, I don't know how aware you are of this new kind of trend with, like, books, but more like the fantasy smut books. Have you seen any of these?
I mean, I'm a Colleen Hoover fan. Okay. I've read a lot of her books.
Okay.
But that's not necessarily fantasy. It's kind of like a love story with a little extra, per se.
Yeah.
So, no, that's not popping up on mine at the moment.
Okay. At Christmas, actually, I get cards from family or whatever, and one of my aunt and uncles mentioned that their daughter, Katie, my cousin Katie, writes books, and she, like, just published, like, her third or fourth one in the series. And nice. I'm like, what?
Oh, you didn't know?
No, I had no idea. And was just like, what? But also, I think of her as being so young. You know what I mean?
Because what is she writing about?
Well, they're, like, steamy fantasy things.
Yeah, but like, that's my little cousin.
I know. But also, when I was young, I was not writing books and getting them published.
No, good for
her. So, I know. So, it's, like, already impressed. And then it's like, oh, Katie, like, oh. I don't think they're, like, definitely not, like, I think Colleen Hoover, like, 50 Shades level. I think they're steamy romantic, but not anything crazy.
Yeah.
But the other day I was like, I really need to, I've been so busy with school and all this stuff that I just felt like even if I give myself 20 minutes, you know, at the end of the night, I think I just need something for myself to just kind of like wind down. And so I picked up her book. And so I've been reading that. And yeah, it's good.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah, is it enough to wind you down or are you getting wound up?
Oh my goodness. So far, I think it's revving up.
Oh.
I think the two, you know, people. So it follows, you know, this feisty redheaded girl. And so I think she's
kind of redhead is not feisty.
I know. Like, oh, she's a redhead. Okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, yeah, it's, you know, it's not a super hard read, which I don't think it's meant to be, you know, but it's just been, like, fun.
Might have to share that one with me.
I will.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about today something that's, like, not laid back at all.
Yes. Speaking of winding up.
Yeah. Oh, this one's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear what you have for us.
Yeah. So.
Should we get into it?
Yeah.
Like, we got to, we got to have our theme music.
Hello.
Okay.
I'm just so ready to go.
Okay. This is Run In Her Shoes podcast with Amber
and Robin,
where we talk about balancing life, work, and running.
As busy moms juggling life, we want to provide a community where we encourage taking time for your mental and physical health on your running journey.
Join us weekly as we talk about our favorite races, gear, and goals as amateur runners, 1 mile at a time. All right, now you can go.
Okay.
Tell us all the things.
Well, I'm sure you've been seeing it all over online. Maybe I'll save this why we're seeing it.
Okay.
But there is a race that happens every year around this time called the Barkley Marathons. Mm-hmm. And so it just finished. So you were seeing a lot on like social media and online and stuff about this race has started and ended. And so I'll just tell you, I guess, what's exciting about it is this year. So it started in 1986.
Mm-hmm.
And this year we've had our first female finisher.
Yeah. Not even like, I don't know, best time. Like a female has never completed this race.
Right.
It is so intense.
Yeah.
Had this been on your radar before you were a runner? Had you heard of?
So I had heard, me and Jesse had watched a documentary years ago. Mm-hmm. And so as I was kind of looking into this run, it was like, oh yeah, these details were sounding familiar. And it was like, oh yeah, there's this documentary. I don't know where we originally saw it, but you can watch it on Peacock.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think if you you know, have pay for certain subscriptions, you can watch it, I think, on like Hulu or YouTube or whatever. But the documentary is called, yeah, The Berkeley Marathons, The Race That Eats Its Young.
Yes.
And so that's what it's known as like The Race That Eats Its Young. It's hardcore, as we'll find out.
Yeah. And to be honest, it wasn't on my radar before. I had never heard of this before. Yeah. I didn't watch the documentary when it came out. So
yeah, well, when we watched it, I wasn't a runner. That wasn't something. So I think it was like this cool thing that like happens and people are really into it and you're just like crazy.
Yeah.
But like now that it's like as a runner, I think you definitely appreciate
what's going on. And you see these pictures now of the first female finisher of this, and now I can't get enough learning about the Berkeley Marathon, so please tell me more,
all of the things. So like I said, the first race was in 1986. It was created by Gary Cantrell.
Okay.
His inspiration for it came from there's a man named James Earl Ray.
Yeah, heard of him.
Yes. Heard of him. He's the guy that assassinated Martin Luther King Jr.
Mm-hmm.
But while he was incarcerated in 1977, he like escaped the prison.
Mm-hmm. And this was the prison is in Tennessee.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Where the race happens.
Okay.
Or probably close to. But yes, the race happens in Tennessee. But he evaded police for 2 days. I think eventually went into the woods, but because of like, I think the terrain was only able to go like 8 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guy who created this race, Gary, was like very under impressed and was like, let's see what we can do.
8 miles?
Yeah.
Come on. Come on.
8 miles? Try 100.
Oh, that's a bit of a leap.
I know,
right? Yeah.
So your goal is to complete 5 loops of this 20-mile loop. And so each loop starts and ends at this yellow gate where, like, the trail starts.
Mm-hmm.
That's where your crew is at, and that's where the aid station is. The only aid station.
You have to go 20 miles.
Yeah.
Now, 20 miles. It's not flat. It's not a road of 20 miles.
No. So if you complete all 5 laps, which is a feat in our own. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
You have over 60,000 elevation gain.
Which I saw is the equivalent of summiting Everest.
Yes, that too.
Mount Everest. Yes. Twice.
Yeah.
Twice. Oh my gosh.
And you have to do that. You have to complete the 5 loops in 60 hours. And it's a hard cutoff time.
I mean, that's insane. Summiting Everest.
Yeah.
Like that elevation gain.
Right.
100 miles in 60 hours.
Yeah.
You know, are these people sleeping? It doesn't seem like they have time to sleep.
So it just all depends on, I can't remember if it's 12 or 14, but what it averages to, like what's 60 hours divided by, you know, the 5 loops is if you get back. And you know that, like, we'll just call it 13. Like, I have to average 13 miles each loop. If you get
back. Or 13 hours.
Yeah, 13 hours for each loop. If you get back in 10 hours, then you know.
I can sleep for 3.
Yeah, or 2 and get out or whatever. Okay. You manage your time however you want.
Wow. But,
yeah, there are pictures of Jasmine Paris.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the middle of the night and she's sleeping and you can see, I mean, it must be like her team and spectators and whatever, but littered around her is like extra clothes. Like you can tell she's been like eating and like soda bottles because they want that like fast energy when they're coming through. So I think that's something that surprises people is like how much like junk you're eating on these like ultra runs. Yeah,
they're not eating salads.
Yeah. No, it's like pizza and potatoes and like Coke and all this stuff. So
Pop-Tarts.
But like, she's like sleeping and in this like chair, you know, like a fold out chair. Like, but so yeah, as long as you manage your time, you can use your extra time as much as you want.
Wow.
But so yeah, so the race, the first one started in 1986. They accept 40 runners based on an essay application. And your $1.60
application fee.
I was so shocked to learn that the right. one, you have to apply.
Yes.
And two, the application fee is $1.60.
$1.60. Once you're accepted, you get a letter of condolence from Gary. Like, and you also owe him a new white shirt.
Uh-huh.
Which I forget, because you watched the documentary recently. Did they touch on what they do with it? Because it's like on the tip of my mind.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, this guy, he's not doing this to get rich.
Obviously.
Like, if it started in 86 and it's 2024 and the application fee is still $1.60, yeah. Which, one, he said that's his retirement fund.
Yeah.
Is what the $1.60 goes to. And then he said some years he'll ask for white shirts until he decides he has enough.
Yeah.
One year he asked for socks.
Yeah. Right.
One year he asked for flannels. And yeah. It's just how he accumulates his needs.
Yeah.
And then he just has them.
Yeah. So whatever article of clothing he asked for that year. And then if it's your first time running, he just asks for a license plate from where you're from.
Which, that's good to know, because in some of the pictures that I've seen coming up of the Barkley marathons, there's license plates kind of like hanging in the background.
Like, he hangs a rope between two trees and then like hangs these license plates.
And I'm looking at this, and you know what song I hear in my head as I'm looking at these? Like, I hear the banjo. It looks so backwoods.
Yeah.
With these old, it's kind of creepy in a way to see like these license plates hung up. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah. So, and everything is kept very like, not sporadic, but it's, you know, what time of year it's going to happen. But like, this year was early.
Oh.
Like a week early. So it's never exactly the same week. And then they don't advertise. There's no official website for the race. There's no like big grandeur. And so the only time people even get wind of who's running is someone self-promotes.
Wow.
And so then you have an idea about when it's going to start, but you don't even know the day. So as a runner, I think you're given a general time, but you don't know the day. You're camping out. What do you hear? Oh, someone blowing through a conch shell. Yeah. And then you know that you have an hour until the race starts.
So you have a general idea of like when you need to get there. Yes. Like, good luck telling your boss, like, hey, I need some PTO.
Yeah.
Because I want to do this thing, but I don't know when I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
Hey, honey, are you okay if I do this thing? I don't know when it is.
Yeah, that's fine. It's fine. So you hear the blowing of this conch shell. You know you have an hour to start. Everyone starts at this yellow gate, mm-hmm. and you know, you have to touch the gate leaving and coming mm-hmm. on your rounds. But to start the race, your hands on this gate, and Gary lights a cigarette.
So there's no like gunshot in the air,
right?
Or a foghorn, like something going off. Yeah. He lights a cigarette, and that's your go time.
Yeah.
Like, this is so not traditional.
I know.
Nothing about this is traditional.
No. So like we said, you have 60 hours to complete this race. And I read somewhere that someone came in seconds behind that. And it was, like, disqualified. And so I don't know if they changed, if they end up reversing his disqualification, because uh-huh. later they found out he came from like the wrong direction.
Oh.
So I don't know if he got turned around, because there's no GPS.
You are not allowed to.
Yeah. So they have really strict rules. Like, there's no GPS. There's a map that you can copy, and you get a compass, or you take a compass.
Right.
And you follow this route.
And what, like, if I ever got a wild hair, like, I think I could do 100 miles out in the wilderness. The one thing that would automatically keep me from doing this is copying my own map.
Seriously, girl.
I could
if
not
I write directions
do that.
Down to one place, no one could follow my directions. Like, no. These are so
crazy and weird and like, what?
Yeah. Okay. This is a quick confession.
Yeah.
I did a group run yesterday.
Okay.
Okay. It was really fun. They had a half marathon and they had a half marathon instead of calling it a quarter. So I was like, well, I can squeeze in a half marathon. Yeah. And it was a route that I have never done before. Sure. And it's not like it was a marked race. It was just a group of runners that were like, this is what we're doing. They had paper maps that they printed out for everyone. And they emailed it to me the night before. And I'm like kind of familiar with the town, but kind of not. And I was like reviewing it, being like, okay, well, I know where that street is. But half of it was on trail.
Oh.
So half of it was in town. Half of it you went up and around a trail. I've never been on it before.
Yeah.
And so there were probably like, I don't know, maybe 20 or so runners. And my thought was, well, I'll just keep up with the people that I are in front of me.
Hopefully they
so
know where
that
they're going.
I don't get lost. Because the people that, you know, they've been runners. Actually, yeah. I think one of them, the husband wife was the owners of the One Love Endurance that were part of it that we do all of our races to around here. So anyways, they know what they're doing. They've done this route before. And so my thought was, I'm just going to keep up with them. That's my motivation to go fast. So I kept up with them until we got to the trail. So at least I got out of town, found the right trail.
Yeah.
Girl, this trail was not what I was expecting, okay? It was so steep. I'm not trying to be whiny as we're talking about the Barkley Marathons right now.
Yeah.
I would not survive for so many reasons out there. But I lost them on the trail. They blazed ahead of me.
Yeah.
And so I made it through the trail and there were a few little, like, and I was like, and I'm pulling out my paper map, looking at it, like, I think I just stay straight. Yeah. I think I just stay straight. So I get to the end of the trail and the directions, it's like, keep right and go to, it said something, something trail, like a walking path. And I keep right and I'm looking around. There's nobody behind me. There's nobody in front of me. And I don't see a trail. I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, I know I eventually need to get to this county road to get back up to the start.
Yeah.
And I just blazed my own trail through town. And the goal was to get to 6.55 miles.
Yeah.
And finally I got up to the county road and I see some of the people that were ahead of me before and they're like, you know, maybe like a quarter of a mile in front of me. So I'm like, phew, like I'm in the right spot. It's fine. But coming back up to the start, I was only at 6.1 miles. And they were doing like timed for like, you know, just bragging rights or whatever. And I go past the start and they look at me and they're like, but you know, we're right here. And I was like, I got lost. I still need to do 0.55 miles. I'm going to do a lap around the block. Okay. And they're like, okay. But anyways, I got lost on a like in town map that I could not follow.
Yeah.
There is no way I could take a topo map.
Right.
From, and this is giant. When they were laying it out, I mean, it was like feet long. It's not a condensed map that would fit on this table.
Right.
And then you have to pull out your own topo map, measure everything out, highlight your route, and be able to follow it with a compass.
Yeah.
This is something I can absolutely say is something I will never be able to do in real life.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Or at my afterlife.
Yeah.
No. No. Okay. Sorry. I just had to tell you. No, I can't follow a map.
Okay. Yeah. So already impressive.
Yes.
You can follow a map.
You can follow a map.
So you have no GPS, you have to follow this map. And so it changes, I think, slightly every year. Mm-hmm. So it's not even, if you're someone who's doing this multiple times.
Some people have.
Yes.
A small amount of people have.
So small.
But still, you're not going to know what to expect.
Yes. So in 1988, we had our first finisher.
So it went 2 years and nobody could do the 100 miles.
Yes.
In 60 hours.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
But if you complete 3 of the 5 loops, you're considered a fun run finisher.
Yeah, fun run. So much fun.
So
I
much
have
fun.
Boosters on my feet.
Yeah.
This is great.
And you have to complete that within 40 hours. So
oh,
there's
I
still
didn't know that.
Even a cutoff time for that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Now, the other thing that I was surprised to learn is you're doing these 20-mile loops,
but they dictate what direction you go and yes. when you do the direction.
So yeah, the first two is like clockwise, and then the second two are counterclockwise, and then your last loop is like they tell you, I think they just tell you right there.
Yeah, and if there are two people that come up to the fifth loop, which I think up until fairly recently, yeah. there hadn't been two people to even get to the fifth loop.
Yeah.
But one person has to go one direction and the other person has to go the other way. So if you if we were like buddying up in this for our fifth loop, they would be like, split it, and you would have to go different directions.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so you have this map, you have a compass, you're given a number, so your bib number. As you're running the race, you come across books on the trail, and to keep you like honest, when you come back and you're like, okay, just finished a loop, you have to hand over the pages from the books that you've ripped out that correspond with your bib number.
Yeah. So if you did like basically every single stop, because I think there's 11
books,
11 books. So yeah, there's 11 checkpoints along the way. If you did it, but for whatever reason you lost a page or you skipped one checkpoint and you come back with 10 pages instead of 11, you're out.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
Yeah.
And how bizarre to be like, how can we keep people honest?
I know.
And the titles of the books are a little morbid.
Yeah.
They're not like, you can do it. Great yeah. motivation. It's like death of a tiger in the woods or something like that.
And also, as you apply for this, you get accepted. Great. You show up. If you have bib number one, mm-hmm. it's like an inside joke that like, you're not going to win. You have like very low expectations of you even finishing.
Really?
Yeah.
Give me bib number one.
But could you imagine like showing up and being like, oh.
Oh my gosh, everything about this race, like, it yeah. surprises me, every single yeah. little detail.
But when you've gone through and you've ripped out your number, now that number is gone, so when you come back, you get a new bib.
I wondered about that. Yeah. A new bib number yeah. every time.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, and you have to, when you're coming through, you have to end your lap, you have to touch, like, that yellow gate mm-hmm. again, which... looking at pictures of Jasmine finishing, uh-huh. I mean, you're like, well, that makes sense. Like, she slumped over that rail mm-hmm. and just, like...
yeah, gave it her all, and I have to touch this to finish.
Yeah, so...
in the documentary, some of the people were, like, you know, cutting it close on their time limits, and they're, like, slow motion going for it. And I'm like, just hit it, because you're going to miss out by seconds. Touch it. Touch yeah. the pole. Because
they had five people who completed all five laps... so including Jasmine, mm-hmm. and I don't know if you saw their times, they're all within like 2 minutes of the cutoff time. Mm-hmm. Jasmine is like 1:02 mm-hmm. of that cutoff time. Like, this is no joke. It's not like anyone finished with hours to go.
Right.
That cutoff time is, you are hauling ass the whole time.
Yeah. Now, let's be honest. If you were able to complete all five, and it was like in 60 hours and 5 minutes, I'm still going to tell people that I finished it. I right. just didn't do it in 60 hours.
Right.
Like, that's still something you can totally brag about.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people, too, like, they seem to come back and they're like, well, last year I only did one loop. My yeah. goal is to do the fun run and do it yeah. the three this time. And still, what an accomplishment.
Yeah.
It's not like you can... blow it off because they only did one lap or right. something. It's still incredible.
Yeah.
But to do five.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy. And so, so we talked about the, and the first finisher of all five laps. So this race started in 86. Mm-hmm. We had our first finisher of all five laps. So the person to complete this race, 1996.
Oh my gosh. What?
Right?
So they proved it could be done.
Right.
In 1996.
Yeah.
But it took that long to even get a finisher.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Of all five laps. But like, can you imagine any other race you're like, okay, we've got so many, we're accepting 200 people. I got to get 200 finisher medals. I got to do like this. Like Gary's like, I don't know, maybe I'll order a medal this year. Like,
yeah. I got no overhead.
Yeah.
And I got 40 white shirts. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh my gosh. And then Sue Johnson in 2001 went the furthest of any woman, and okay. she completed 66 miles.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I know.
Do you have anything on there for your notes? What happens when people are like, I'm done? Because no. this made me laugh out oh, loud.
Tell me. Yeah.
So, some people, like, they finish their one loop or two loop, whatever, and they're like, I can't go
yeah.
anymore. They're I'm done.
Out. Yeah.
Do you know what they do?
I mean,
do you remember?
It's been so long since I watched the doc. Tell me.
They play taps.
Oh.
This guy gets out his bugle and starts playing taps. You know what that is? Yeah. Like, just to add insult to injury.
Right. Thanks, Gary. I get it.
Yeah. And so it sounded like a lot of the racers, they come and they're like, just play taps.
That's,
I'm good. But I couldn't believe that that's what they do. After they've just spent however many hours in the wilderness, yeah. sometimes in the dark, like their legs are scraped up. They've got blisters. They're exhausted. Some people even say at one point, like they're hallucinating because they haven't slept in 48 hours.
Yeah.
And then you have to listen to taps because you say, I'm done.
Yeah. You're like, I get it, Gary. I'm bib number one. Okay. Yeah. I get it.
And then if they're a finisher, there's like this tap button they press and it says, that was easy. In this like mechanical voice or whatever. So you have to hit the that was easy button when you get done.
That's
like everything about it is so quirky.
I know. Oh my gosh. It's crazy. So this year the article I read didn't like update or whatever, but they said, okay, so like, you know, light of the cigarette, everyone takes off. And they realized that two of the runners had threw garbage on the ground. And so right away, they were like two disqualifications. They just didn't know who to disqualify. And so they were like, after everyone left, they were like trying to figure out who to disqualify. But could you imagine getting done with even a 20-mile loop and to go, no, you disqualified right at the start?
I didn't know that that's a disqualifying factor. If you litter, you're out?
Yes. Oh, they have really strict rules about keeping everything, like leave no trace, all of this stuff on the trail. And so the littering is like the big one.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I don't know if they did end up disqualifying two people right away or if it was like, well, I thought I got it in my vest. You know, like.
Right.
I just,
oh my gosh.
Super strict.
Yeah. Well, don't litter.
That's the moral of the story.
That's that.
So the finishers this year were Jared Campbell, John Kelly, Greg Hamilton. I'm sorry, I'm going to butcher this name. Ior, Ihor.
Okay.
Varies. And then Jasmine Paris.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Was this a record to have five finishers in one year?
Yes. So I think when I was kind of going through the finishers, which is like a very short list. It doesn't take up one page on your computer. some years were two, but this has been like the most.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, good for her. And it sounded like sometimes weather really plays into it as well for who's completing it, because it could be a torrential downpour. It could be super hot. It sounds like the weather's all over the place there. Yeah.
And then I read there was 2 years where the race didn't run.
Oh.
One was in 2020, but I think because of the timing of the race, I think COVID was a thing, but they weren't shut down yet.
Okay.
But there was like an issue with permits. Oh. So they just, for whatever reason, couldn't run because of permits.
Uh-huh.
But then in 2021, they weren't, for whatever reason, weren't able to run. And then, so those were the only 2 years like it hasn't run.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The other thing that I found interesting is that the course will always change, but it sounds like one thing that is always the same. And in my mind, when I was watching it, it seemed like kind of a halfway point is the prison. that kind of started the whole idea where he escaped. Remind me his name.
James Ray.
Where James Ray escaped from. There is a tunnel that kind of, it looks like where water drains out of the area, but you have to go through that tunnel, which goes under the prison, which is still functioning to this day. Oh, funny. And there's guards and everything around it. But that is one of the checkpoints that you have to do is get through the prison, the underground tunnel of the prison. Oh, and it's just like kind of a, almost like a morbid thing. And then the guy that created it, which Gary, but does he go by Lazarus or is that his last name?
It is, well, Cantrell. I know. When I was looking up his name, he had like a nickname in the middle, but isn't it Frozen something or?
Yeah, because there's, I feel like there's two guys and then one of them is Lazarus. Like his, maybe like his nickname or whatever. Okay. But they were asking like, you were making fun of the prison escapee, basically saying like he only made it 8 miles and then got captured and couldn't do that. Anyone could do 100 miles in this area.
Yeah.
Have you ever completed it? He was like, no, I didn't get anywhere close. Oh. So the guy that runs the race and puts everything on has never done the full Barkley Marathon.
That's funny.
And they named it after, he named it after a friend. He's a farmer in the area and his last name is Barkley and he's just like, he's a stand up guy. He follows through with what he does.
Yeah. There wasn't any real like reason except he's like a neighbor and a friend and like a cool guy.
Yeah. I mean,
coming from the guy who starts a race lighting a cigarette
and has license plates hanging in the background and just wants socks from people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. Yeah. I might want to be a spectator.
Which they only allow 2.
Per racer?
Like every year. What I read was 2 spectators. And then I don't know if there's a cap on your team. Like how many people are there with you. But yeah.
Okay. Well, 1 spectator, 2 spectator. Yeah. Gary.
Put us on the books for next year.
We'll report back.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it just blows my mind. Well, I think only because running's been on my radar for like the last year or so, but it just seems like the last handful of years and then like the last year, we're just seeing this insane influx of these runners that are just kicking butt and taking names along the way.
Yeah.
And so I think it says something that we had 5 finishers this year, but it just, it still blows my mind how close they come to that cutoff point.
Yeah. It kind of gave me goosebumps thinking about it, too. I mean, and first female finisher, like, there's been more and more females on the books breaking all these records, pushing through the barriers, and doing all the amazing things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's not, like, in her 20s.
Right.
Right? Like, she, I don't know how old she is, but
I don't know either. But, yeah, it's not
just
like,
saying, like, sky's the limit.
There you go.
Do anything. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, maybe not this, but
not the Barkley.
Yeah. But yeah.
Well, have you done anything super extreme before that compares to like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, definitely not running something crazy, but, I mean, I've swam with a shark.
That takes some balls. I wouldn't want to swim with sharks.
I mean, I don't know if I would do it now. Very young. And it was just like, I guess we'll just get, I mean, everyone else was doing it.
I'm glad you chose swim with sharks instead of drugs.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Were you in a cage?
No.
No.
So a friend of mine at the time, I haven't spoken to her in a while, but her dad lives like part-time in Hawaii. And so I went with her once to like, you know, go see her dad and just like, a week in Hawaii or whatever it was. And we were just like, out on this boat and all us girls were just kind of sunbathing and all the guys were like snorkeling and diving. And her dad was, I mean, he cracked me up all the time, but he's like somebody who's going to like go for a run and then do like pull-ups on a tree branch. Or like squat with a big rock.
Has he run the Barkley?
Maybe. and so they're all like yeah, diving around, and then he just kind of like pops up on the side of the boat. It's like, girls, get in. There's a shark down here. And so it was just like, okay.
You were almost shark bait.
Almost.
Okay, well, that's extreme in my book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you brought up maybe in the future doing the 4x4x48, and yes. I think that you're a little crazy for that. This will be our
Barkley.
That would be our Barkley. I mean, it's every 4 hours, you're running 4 miles.
Yes.
For a total of 48 hours.
Yes.
Which ends up being
48 miles.
48 miles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe one day. Yeah. Well, you want to do it this summer, don't you?
Well, I think weather, I mean, I'm not trying to do this in the winter.
No, no.
You know, I just think for Colorado, for summer, because no matter what, you're going to do at least a couple of these intervals in the middle of the night.
Right.
So I just feel like even though the daytime ones are going to suck, I just don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe early fall.
Okay. So you've taken it to the extreme, though. If we do this, we would do it outside. Because some people, could you do it on a treadmill? Could we just, like, wake up in the middle of the night and go to the gym? Like, get a gym membership for the week?
Yeah. Hey, Sock, I need a gym membership just for 48 hours.
We'll reach out to our buddies for that. And then we can, like, watch TV while we're doing it. But it feels more hardcore if we did it outside.
I know. I feel like the blogs that I read of people sharing their experience and doing it, no one had done it inside.
Okay.
So it doesn't seem to be a thing.
Okay. Well, we'll see. That would be an extreme thing if we did that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that would be good.
I would say the most extreme thing that I've done as an adult, last summer I completed 75 hard.
Yeah.
Which I hadn't even heard of before until a group of friends were like, hey, do you want to try it? And I guess it was like, well, everybody's doing it, so sure, I do.
Yeah.
But it was created by Andy Frisella.
Okay.
And he created it to prove to yourself that you can do hard things. So yes, it's a fitness challenge, but it's also a, like, how well can you schedule your day and can you get everything in from this checklist without making excuses? And so, like, one of the things that kept me going through it was he talks about your bitch voice. And that's that little...
Does it go with your bitch face? Because I have a resting one.
Well, so do I. I've been told before I'm not approachable, and I'm just like, no, that's just my face.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But I'm also like, good. Stay away from me.
No, that's not true. People love you. No, but it's the voice in your head that when you're doing something that's making up excuses and telling you to stop, right? And you can just silence that bitch voice and be like, no, bitch. Like, you could name your bitch voice whatever you wanted to name her, you know? I don't have a name for mine, but anyways, but you just overcome that. So for 75 days, you are exercising, like doing a workout 2 times a day. Each of them are 45 minutes.
Okay.
One of them has to be outside. Okay. He does say, like, hello, if you're in the middle of, like, a tornado warning, like, maybe plan your day around that. Like, don't go out and get swept away by a tornado.
Do it before.
I mean, that's what he said. He's like, if you've got to wake up at 3 a.m. because you know it's going to be pouring rain all day and you don't want to do it, like, schedule your day and get it done. We did do ours from April to July, so the weather was cooperative. Nice. I can say I wouldn't want to do it in the winter because that would be hard to be outside for 45 minutes in some of our snowstorms.
Yeah.
And what have you. But so 2 workouts a day, 45 minutes. And he says, like, if you do 44 minutes and 30 seconds, you fail.
Oh.
But the only person that knows that you fail is going to be you.
Right.
You hold yourself accountable to it. So yeah, you do that, and then you also drink 1 gallon of water a day,
okay.
Which initially, that was one of the things that I thought would be hard, and what was funny, when I was even contemplating starting this, I was already making up excuses in my mind, like, I was thinking, well, I drink, like, 3 cups of coffee a day, coffee is water, so that'll count, and then, like, I had to come to the realization, like, no, stop making excuses, drink your coffee and drink your gallon of water.
Yeah.
Hello. And then you pick a diet and stick to it. He's like, it doesn't need to all be the same for every person. You can, whatever it is, just stick to it and don't cheat it. Which
I was doing and still do intermittent fasting, which I feel like there's a little bit of a give to that. Like, yeah, technically, if I want to eat ice cream in my eating window, right, I'll do it. But I wanted to fast for at least 18 hours during that. So I stuck to an 18-hour fast. No alcohol, which honestly, it wasn't that hard for me to give up, especially now that I'm running.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to have a headache in the morning. I know. Even if it's just like a glass of wine. I've barely drank at all, honestly, since I started 75 Hard last year, yeah, in April. And I'm fine giving that up.
I know.
I'm good with that. That one, thankfully, was not hard for me. But I know some people, that is it can be a really big struggle, mm-hmm, to give up. And, oh, you have to take a picture of yourself every day, which there were times that I would, like, lay down and be like, oh, my gosh, I didn't take my picture. I've got to get up and take my picture, because that was part of it, too, just to see, like, your daily progress was really, yeah, cool. So I think those are all the components of it. But,
oh, with a book.
Oh, yes, thank you. Yeah. And then you read 10 pages of a nonfiction book every day.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be, like, a self-help, like, motivational, mm, type, like, inspirational type, yeah, of book. And I really enjoyed that. I read so many books,
yeah,
during that time and just got to learn new things. And
nice.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah. It's not something that I feel like I could sustain for more than 75,
yeah,
days. Like on day 75, well, I went and got my tattoo.
There you go.
And I was like, I did it. I'm going to celebrate. And then, yeah, I needed like a big mental rest.
Yeah. After that's that. A lot.
It was a lot. Like,
well, I think it shows you can fit, mm-hmm, those things in, and that's fine, but... Mm-hmm. I just think as women, like, I think having those goals or, right, being able to, like, cleanse for, mm-hmm, 75 days is great, yeah, but it's just, like, sometimes, yes, I just need to, mm-hmm, focus on the kids or whatever it is, you know.
That was one of the hardest things, is I didn't want to be putting my family on the back burner, but I also didn't want to let myself down for this challenge that, yeah, I had committed to. And so... I mean, there were times where I was like, no, I need 45 minutes, like, to myself right now, no matter what is going on. You know, mm-hmm, other times you're like, oh, I'll let it slide, or I'll only do 20, or, yeah, something like that. So, yeah, balancing 75 Hard as a mom was hard. But during the summer, it was nice, too, because it was like, okay, guys, we're going to go outside for 45 minutes. Like, let's go take the dogs on a long walk. It didn't, right, have to be an extreme exercise by, yeah, any point. At no point in time did my feet bleed. I did not get blisters.
That's good.
I was not sleep deprived. I mean, beyond a normal amount.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But it does just show, yeah, we can do hard things.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things, though, with drinking that much water, mm-hmm, during 75 Hard, I was almost getting more headaches in the beginning drinking that much water. Hmm. And I started adding electrolytes to my water.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now I love it. Mm. It was almost like I was... like flushing my body out too much with that much water in a way. So I started adding a non-flavored, like totally plain, just electrolytes to my water. So I do one of that in my like big Stanleys for the day.
Nice.
Yeah. Do you, yeah, like any electrolytes?
Yes. Do you add any? I only use it though, like if I just feel like my drinking for the week's been off. And so I kind of feel like, oh, I think I need like a boost,
okay,
right now. Yeah. Or like, you know, when we got done with the incline, my, hydro flask had like electrolyte water in it.
Oh.
For on the way home and stuff.
Yeah.
But I like the goo, uh-huh, electrolyte tablets.
Oh, nice.
They have one that's a strawberry lemonade.
Mmm, yum.
That is like my favorite.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good. For now, I just use the flavorless, and then that way I can drink it whether or not I'm eating during that time, mm-hmm, of day or not, because it, yeah, doesn't have any flavor to it. But I might try some of those flavored ones, yeah, for during the day.
I don't want to say a bad thing or like a downfall or like whatever, but it's just like now that I'm in school taking biology and nutrition.
Oh yeah.
So you can get too much electrolytes.
You can. So fair warning, if it's fat soluble,
yeah,
you're going to hold on to it. If it's, yeah, water soluble, like vitamins, whatever, you pee it out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like you can have too much magnesium. Yes. Yes, you can. You can have too much potassium.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm sure I could drink it every day and it's not going to be that big of a deal, but I don't. I just do it when I feel like I need it.
Yeah. If you have heart palpitations, maybe think about
professional help.
Yes. That's right. But good times to use it, though, is if you're exercising, like, for more than 1 hour because you're going to be sweating out so much. Mm-hmm. If you're doing something that's, you know, even if it's less than an hour and you're just really sweating, it's a good time to replace it. If you're sick, like with GI stuff, mm-hmm. electrolytes can really make you feel better.
Yeah.
Hence, like, why we always drink Gatorade and whatever as kids and maybe even adults. But then the sugar gets me. So I don't like sugary stuff.
Yeah.
To replace it. And then when it's hot in summertime, with my Salomon vest with the bladders, like I'll probably end up putting my non-flavored electrolytes in there. Cause I was telling you this, I don't want to have to do a deep clean of the inside of the bladders if they're like sticky and stuff. So I just want non-flavored, but then I can still have my electrolytes in my, in my bladder. Water bladder. But then, like, some sources say, like you were saying, if you're not doing extreme things during the day, regular water is probably going to be just fine to hydrate you.
Yeah. And it's just so funny because, like, it hasn't come up in text-wise, but my biology professor is, she's, like, a runner.
Oh, yeah?
And so she talks about, you know, if you come up on an aid station, she knows and can see the difference between someone who has low electrolytes or has had too much.
Really?
Yeah. And so it's like someone comes into a station and you would like maybe just assume like they need electrolytes. But if they're having too much.
Oh, wow.
You wouldn't want to pump them with more.
Yeah. No. Because then you would be doing like CPR because their heart would get thrown out of whack.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. No, no, no. But have you heard of hydrogen water? I just stumbled across this. One of my friends was telling me about it.
And well, we are in this trend, me and you, where you are keeping me up to date on all the things.
I know.
You text me and you're like, oh my God. And I'm like, what?
We need all the money to buy all the things to be the best. When like regular water will totally hydrate you.
Yes.
That's how God made it. But anyways, it is water that is infused with hydrogen, but you can infuse it based out of like a water bottle. You have to buy this fancy water bottle.
Of course. Yeah.
Of course. I think that, you know, like the soda streams,
yeah,
like where it makes it bubbly or whatever. Okay. I think it's similar to that, where you have a contraption that you put your water in and then it infuses it with hydrogen.
Okay.
Hydrogen is a powerful antioxidant.
Okay.
So, and it's not something that, like, you can just go consume. Like, hydrogen is in the air.
Breathe in.
Just take a deep breath of hydrogen. Yeah. I don't know. But it's supposed to boost your energy.
Okay.
Reduce fatigue. It can supposedly promote clear skin.
Okay.
It can support your joints. And it can be really restorative. Like if you've gone for a long race and you want, you get that lactate build up in your muscles, this hydrogen water helps you flush out extra lactate so that you're not as sore after races and all of this. I mean, it reduces inflammation and I think that's one of the biggest points.
Yeah.
Now, they have been studying it since like the 1960s, but I think smaller studies and even still to date, there's no huge earth shattering studies that have come out that said this is the end all be all, but in smaller studies that they've seen like hydrogen water versus not like, and you know, the participants don't know which one they received.
Gotcha.
The ones that drank the hydrogen water reported less muscle fatigue and stuff after extreme endurance.
Okay.
So there's a chance that it works. It seems to be a new, like, popular thing.
Okay.
And the other thing about it, it's not going to hurt you. Like, you can drink too many electrolytes. You can have too many on board. You can't have too much hydrogen. So it's not going to hurt you if you drink it. And then I feel like it's leaning towards, yes, it's helpful, but no 100% proof that this is, like, the, I don't know, fountain of youth or something like that.
Hmm.
But I don't know. If I had an extra $50, $100
I was just going to say, how much is this?
I've seen them on Amazon, like, lately they've been on sale for, like, around 50, but I think upwards of 100.
Yeah.
And I kind of stink at losing water bottles, so I don't know if this is my best choice of investments right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, it'd be interesting to see how you felt after drinking hydrogen water versus not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. If anyone's making and developing these things and you want to send us one, I mean, feel free.
Yeah, we'll report back.
Yeah.
Or here's another idea.
Tell me.
What if Stanley had a hydrogen infuser in their water bottles? You could have a trendy water bottle that made hydrogen water.
Can't even imagine the chaos that would cause.
I mean, we should trademark that right now. Yes. That was
considered
our idea.
Considered it trademarked.
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, well, we'll see. Okay, I have kind of a crazy idea. Do you want to go along with it?
Tell me more before I sign anywhere.
Okay, so the Barkley Marathons, that's not what I wanted to
do. Okay.
like, what?
This came like, I've submitted your essay and your $1.60.
Yeah, you owe me $1.60. No, you know, they do some running in the middle of the night, like that sort of a thing, which, and then we talked about the 4x4x48 in the middle of the night. Honestly, part of that is out of my comfort zone, but like that feeling of completing something so cool that you normally wouldn't do. Cool. I mean, it's got my interest piqued a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I found a relay.
Okay.
It is in Colorado. And part of it, yes, you would have to run in the middle of the night because it's over the time span of 48 hours.
Okay.
It starts in Idaho Springs.
Okay.
So it's like a little bit of a drive from where we are. But it ends in Buena Vista, which is like our backyard.
Hello.
Hello. So it's called the Flaming Foliage. I can't ever say that word. Flaming Foliage. Like, because this one is in the fall.
Okay.
Foliage. So like leaves are changing.
Yeah.
It really is. It's in September.
Okay, good.
It is over Labor Day weekend, I think.
Okay.
And you have a relay team. It can be anywhere from 2 people to 10 people.
Okay.
It's 165 miles.
Okay.
So I will tell you, if we find team members, and if you say yes to doing this,
okay,
it's going to be more than two of us. I'm sorry. I can't run half of 165.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I have.
Yeah, tell me.
It's hailing outside right now.
Oh, what is this weather? It is. I was wondering what you were looking at.
Because when I first noticed it, it looked like just rain. And then I just thought, am I seeing things right? You know how windows sometimes you look through and it's like, is it raining? Is it not? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. That's all.
That's okay. Is your Jeep okay? I mean, it looks pea-sized right now. Oh. If we start hearing something, we can take a break and you can like move your Jeep under our garage or something.
I mean, I'm not worried about my window's down. Not a lot. So I'm not worried. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I just heard the front door open too. So I wonder if John's going to go move his truck. Yep. He's moving his truck.
Okay.
Okay. Well, our relay race, it's 165 miles. Teams anywhere from 2 to 10 people. And then you split up the miles.
Okay.
And usually it's a group of, like, you have 5 people and 5 people.
Okay.
And then you have somebody dedicated to driving, like, a big enough vehicle, like usually a van or something like that.
Okay.
So that you can kind of hop to the next checkpoint.
Someone could get in, someone could get out.
Yep, exactly like that. So they kind of follow you along the way. And your van, they do have strict requirements for the equipment that you need to run it. Like they make sure you have the right first aid equipment.
Okay.
You have, you know,
your
all the
hydrogen
snacks.
Water.
You have your hydrogen water. Exactly. Very strict things that you have to prove that you have so that you're safe along the way. Because it's like your little 2 to 10 man team that you're traveling with. But, you can split up the miles amongst your team however you see fit. Like some people might run 20 miles, some people might run 15, whatever. And it doesn't need to be the same length of mile. You just kind of look at it as a team and say, like, what are your strengths, you know, because most of it is going to be on the road, but there is some trail to it as well. So like if you have a strong trail runner that wants to do that section, you would kind of split it up, but you will run some of it in the dark.
which again kind of gives me like the anxiety, but also how cool would that be?
Yeah.
So yeah, and I just think it's cool that it ends in Buena Vista.
Right. So close to us.
So you go like through Georgetown. I'm gonna ruin how you say this, but I think it's Guanella Pass.
Yeah.
You go over that. And then let's see, where else does it go? You descend down that Guanella Pass, and it says the next four lucky runners will be on a single track and dirt of U.S. Forest Service roads. Nice. So that's the trail portion that you would have to figure out. And then it's called the Burning Bush Trail.
Okay.
And then leg 11 is over the next pass, Georgia Pass, which is a little over 11,000 feet. And then that will get you into Breckenridge. And then runners will run on the bike path to Frisco. And I know some of these things, you're like, I've heard of them. Like, you can't place. I'm not that great at it either to be like, wait, where are we going? And but anyways, I know the big town. So Breckenridge to Frisco. And then there's another van exchange after that. And then you go to Copper Mountain,
okay,
which is a little over 9,000 feet. From Copper Mountain, you go over Fremont Pass, which, like, that pass, I hate driving that pass in the winter. Mm. It's always snow-packed and scary. But you are driving Fremont Pass, like, all the time now to get to school, aren't you? Don't you drive Fremont Pass to get to Leadville?
I have no fucking idea.
Okay. I think you do.
Okay.
So you would be familiar with Fremont Pass. Okay. Because then the next van exchange is in Leadville.
Okay.
Leadville is a very high elevation. It's over 10,000 feet. Well, is Fremont
coming the other way, then? Because if it's Leadville and then BV.
Oh, maybe so.
Yeah. So, because I think I drive by the sign,
okay,
but it's like it's always closed.
Okay, so you're not there. Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah, anyway. It is always closed. It's an extreme mountain pass for sure. But from Leadville, then you kind of follow the Arkansas River, and then you get a finish in Buena Vista, which is a little under 8,000 feet. So most of it is going to be downhill, which is nice. And you have to be careful. There's no road closures, though. There's no traffic control. There's no aid stations. Oh, your van is your aid station.
Gotcha.
So I would have to make sure that I would be on a route that I know I couldn't get lost on.
Right.
And all of that. But, yeah, I just think that it's so cool. And then at the end, you get, like, your team picture. You get, you know, your medal.
Nice.
All of that. And it would, I don't know. I think we should look into it.
Yeah, let's look into it.
Okay. Any local gals out there that want to be on our team, let's make it happen. So I think you have to sign up by the end of May.
Oh, okay.
But then you would have time to train.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, I think that would be fun. Okay, I've got some fun questions for you here.
Yay!
Fast facts.
Tell me.
Which I think it's funny we call them fast facts because then we just end up asking questions. But it's facts. It's your own facts.
Yeah.
It's your own answers to the questions that I have for you. All right. I was thinking about like extreme things, extreme situations and what you would do to accomplish them. Okay. So you're on a long race.
Okay.
Your longest one to date.
Okay.
You know, or maybe like second one, whatever. You know that you're going to set a personal record. Okay. You're going to PR. However, you have to pee first.
Okay.
So would you A, stop and pee behind the next tree, B, keep running until the next porta potty, or C, just let it flow, keep on running, change your leggings later, and get your PR.
So if I stop in either of the situations, I'm not PRing.
Correct. Yeah. Because
I want to be, like, extreme and say that I would just let it go.
Just let it go.
Because I just feel like anyone at that race worth anything is going to be like, I get it.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to judge you,
you know,
in
what
that
I mean?
Setting.
Yeah, you're like you right. get done and people aren't going to be like, oh my God, she Peter. It'd be like, oh my God.
Yeah. She Peter pants to get that PR. High five.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would just be worried about the chafing. Like,
I know. It's like, I feel like in this moment, it's like, oh, I'd want to stop at that porta potty or at least go behind a tree. Yeah. But I want to say that I would just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we need, like, depends for our next race? I don't know. I have a bladder of steel. Yeah. Somehow I was blessed with, like, I call it a nurse bladder because honestly, this sounds so unhealthy, but there were times that I worked a 12-hour shift and did not stop to pee.
Hmm.
And so I feel like if I could work a 12-hour shift, I was probably also very dehydrated, yeah. though. I don't know. I think I would stop at a porta potty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. If you could have one household item on Amazon auto delivery for the rest of your life, what would it be?
I'm really bad of, I play this game every, whatever, how long it takes us of like, how little toilet paper can I get to before I go buy some more? And I think it's just because I keep some on the back of the toilet, you know, mm-hmm. like in a pretty basket.
Yeah.
And then the overflow's in the closet. So okay. I keep replenishing the basket. But I think in my mind, it's like there's always some in the closet. And so it gets very close.
Oh.
Yeah. So I just think that could just be automatic.
Toilet paper on your front porch every month.
Yeah.
Thank you, Amazon gods.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Yeah. Mine would be contact solution.
Oh.
Do you wear contacts?
No.
It is such a pain when I'm like squeezing it out and then it's like bubbles that are coming out because there's nothing left. Yeah. And I'm like, crap, I'm either going to have to junk the contacts that I have or use water. And then it feels awful the next day. Mm. I've had to use Visine before because that was the only thing I had.
Yeah.
And it's just such an inconvenience when I run out of contact solution.
Yeah.
So I guess that's like a selfish one, not like a family one.
Yeah.
What mystery or phenomenon would you love to understand?
JonBenet Ramsey.
Yes, that is the best answer. Oh, I didn't even think of that one. Yes,
right?
Oh my gosh. So
just what happened?
What happened?
Yes. So if you don't know, because where did that take place? In Colorado.
Boulder.
Boulder, yes.
Yeah.
She was a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
She was a pageant participant.
Beauty queen at like very young age.
Yeah.
Elementary.
Little, yeah. And from what I understand and remember is, I mean, they were a pretty wealthy family.
Mm-hmm.
And then was it just like in the middle of the night they found her passed away?
I think so.
Yeah. So.
And there was speculation if there was any sexual abuse to it. It was just a very
messy case. And then of course, I mean, no one thinks about it at all, but it's like, oh, you know, they put her in pageants and this whole thing.
Sure.
And so it's just like, of course, they go at every angle with this.
Yeah.
But it's
and their
just,
family gets put under the microscope and you just.
Ugh. Yeah. And there's been tons of rumors or whatever you call it, angles of, you know, that it was accidental and they were trying to cover it up, mm-hmm. that it was either the parents or the brother.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were close in age, but like a little brother or maybe slightly older, I forget. But yeah. And then it's like, oh, well then there was, right, like things left behind or like, was it someone who broke into the house? Was it this or that? And
yeah. Oh, okay. Great answer.
Thank you.
A plus.
Thank you.
I would love to know that as well. I was watching a documentary about the Boeing plane that disappeared.
Yeah.
Like, just disappeared.
Right. And that's not like 50 years ago.
No.
You know, it's like, how does that happen?
In today's world with all the radar and all the things, where did it go?
Right.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if we'll ever know.
Yeah.
I would love to understand it. Okay. If you could be a fly on anyone's wall for an entire day, like in their house, who would it be?
I think, ooh, that's a hard one.
I know. It's like, who would you pick?
I know. Because the first thing that popped in my mind was like, on the wall at the Oval Office.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just to see what's going on. But then I wonder, can I pick an era or like a time?
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because I feel like there are certain presidents more than others. Like, do I really need to be in Joe Biden's office? Like, just hearing all this. stupid shit.
You are so like, funny. Sorry,
but like, you know, like,
like, no.
Do I can't? No, but like,
maybe like a, maybe a few decades ago or something.
Yeah, yeah. You know, something like that. I can't think of anyone
particular
know.
Person.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, in the past, we've talked about like having dinner with the royals. That would be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
As well. Yeah. But yeah, I was kind of thinking like, yeah, like Pentagon stuff. Mm. Like, are there secrets out there? Are there aliens? Right. Are there mermaids?
Yeah.
I don't know, but maybe they do.
Like, I could fly into, what's the place that's super secret? You know.
Like, area.
Yeah, area 51.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Could I fly an event, see what's happening?
Yeah.
Like, is it just an empty building? They're just sitting around?
Like, drinking coffee.
Sorry or something? Yeah.
We could know if we were a fly on the wall.
Yeah.
Okay, last question is, what it is one of your earliest memories of our relationship?
I mean, I remember, well, I remember when you used to live in that house.
I that lived in a house.
Yeah.
Yes.
You lived in a van by a river. No. Yes, you lived, no, you lived in the house that was in town that's now like the pot shop. Right? Or close to that area?
Yeah, actually, that house got bulldozed down.
Well, yeah.
I mean, like, it wasn't like a junk house. It was just they wanted to turn it into a parking lot for a church, which is next to a pot house. Welcome to Salida.
Yeah. But that's the area. It was right there.
Yes.
But I remember I remember us going to Sonic and getting ice cream one night.
Uh-huh.
But also, I remember sitting in the house and I feel like this is very your husband, very John, was like, watch this, you guys. And he put down a fake dollar bill that looked like a folded, like, 50 or 100.
Okay.
And it was just like, watch this, you guys. And we were just all sitting around. And then you came out and was like, oh, like, you totally spotted it and got really excited. But it looks like folded, but it's a single. So when you pick it up and flip it over, it's like, ha ha.
Got you.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about because I'm pretty sure that's still in his dresser, but I don't remember that time, probably because he's had it forever now.
Yeah.
But I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I remember the house in Sonic.
And we all went and got drinks at that bar that's no longer there.
It's like a bookstore now or something. What?
Yeah.
Again, our town is awesome.
Yeah, but it's just so funny because I think, I mean, of course, you're younger, you're doing all these things, but I just think, never in our since I've moved here have we been like, let's go to a bar and have drinks. Like, maybe I've had a glass of wine at dinner. Like,
I know. That one time we kind of had a party weekend. But after that, no, we really haven't. That hasn't been our scene.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I think about our trip to the alligator farm. Which, yes, that's a thing around here.
Yeah.
Not around here. Far. Yeah. It's like an hour away.
Don't put that on Salida.
But yeah, there's an alligator farm and they have like tortoises and snakes and it's kind of
Tiger King-esque. Yeah.
Like it's a little, they have, what animals were there? Did they have wolves in the, at one point I think they've had like two wolves in really weird cages, like they foster weird random animals.
I mean, you're walking around this place anyway and it's like a chain link fence.
Yes.
You know, that's like holding back these alligators. And was it the trip we all went, cuz like I've taken Jack.
Yeah.
But was it our trip that people were actually in the pen, like, wrangling, like, you can pay
to wrangle a gator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that was, like, nothing exciting was happening, like, at the time, but there were people
inside the chain link fence learning to wrestle a gator.
Yeah.
We did not wrestle gators.
No.
But the boys did put on those funny gator hats as we were holding a snake? Is that what the picture is?
Well, I think me and you,
we held the alligator. Yes.
Yeah.
And we got a certificate of bravery because they take the alligator's teeth and like punch it through the...
Yeah, chomp the certificate.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It was like a 12-inch alligator. Yeah. It was not anything massive. But yeah, the boys wouldn't do it and we would.
Yeah. They boys would, meaning men.
Men.
Our men.
Yeah. They were... I I don't know if you guys were married yet.
No.
Okay. I think John and I were married, but still. Yeah. Full grown men did not hold alligators. Yeah. We did.
It's fine. They wore silly hats.
They did.
Well, we held the alligator.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That was a while ago. What?
No, I remember we were like getting ready to start and Jesse, my husband, in like very Jesse form, like this will sound very on brand, goes up to the girl and goes, "Do you have any Gatorade?"
Oh my gosh.
And she like didn't catch it because I don't think he paused that long. Like,
yeah.
But like she was just like in the cooler.
Like, and he's like, yeah. Okay. Just want to know if you had any.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, that was fun. That was fun to reflect back on.
Good times.
Well, to wrap this one up, I have a very cool listener story.
Oh, yes.
Okay. This one is from Helen Hansen.
Okay.
And she said she has a Southern double first name. So her name is Helen Hansen. Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
She's from Daphne, Alabama.
Okay.
She started running in college after being a dancer for many years, primarily ballet.
Okay.
I'm sure, like, you have some good legs in ballet. Good transition into running.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she said she quickly fell in love with running and ran her first half marathon her junior year of college in 2015. It was the St. Jude half marathon in Memphis. This story is real cool. Okay. She said, well, to where she is now, she went through a lot to get to where she is now. But she said, fast forward a few years and several years battling serious alcoholism, she fell back into running when she finally began her sobriety journey in December of 2019. Mm. Amazing.
Yeah.
She said, after three stops in inpatient rehab, she knew it had to happen. So she leaned into running to distract her the first 2 years of recovery and find herself again. Yes. She said now she's on her way to 5 years of being sober and running better than ever she thought was ever possible.
Yeah. Amazing. I mean, just the sobriety part by itself is like awesome, but
awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, running can be a very quick addiction, but at least it's a healthy, you know, addiction. And I mean, it does consume your mind and your time and whatever, but in the best way possible. Yeah. So I'm glad that she found running, and that was able to carry her through her sobriety. She's currently getting ready to train for Chicago.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. It'll be her first full marathon and goal distance. She wants to get to her goal distance before her 5-year sobriety date.
Nice.
So we'll be cheering you on.
Yeah.
She said distance running is challenging, but she's lived through harder days battling addiction. I'll take a hard run any day over a good day in alcoholism.
Yeah.
Yeah. So nice. We are cheering you on, Helen Hansen. Thank you for sharing your story.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like today's theme was just like hard things.
Yeah.
But
Barkley, holding alligators, all the things.
All the things. So good. But if you have a listener story you want to share with us, we love to hear them. Keep them coming. And thank you to everyone who has shared.
Yeah.
You can email us at runinhershoes@runsister.com. Follow us on Instagram. Send us a message there.
Yeah.
And share this podcast with all your running friends.
Yeah.
Okay. See you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to Run In Her Shoes. Run In Her Shoes podcast is produced and edited by Amber Linza and Robin Ogden. It's time to run, sister.